You are now listening to the Run the Ropes podcast, and we have a very special guest with us today, the one, the only, Jock Sampson. And Jock is our first interview here on Run the Ropes, and it's kind of it kind of puts me offsetting on giving an introduction to someone like Jock, because I think Jock could probably give a better introduction of Jock than I could give an introduction of Jock. So Jock, take it away.
Well, I don't know how good of an introduction I can do. I literally just got done, in my backyard, getting it organized, getting it winter ready. Now I'm sitting here on my fat ass watching hockey like I do, drink some damn beer. I made a whole big ass pot of chili. And Jock Sampson's here, and he's ready to rip and roar.
Awesome.
So bring on the motherfucking question, boys.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, see, that's still better than what that I would have brought there. Jock, I know you a little bit. Just like I think I'm the first time I saw you was 2016, I think it was, maybe 2017. Down at a IWA show where you were tagging with the as the Mega Plowers. I've kind of followed you through social media and various outlets that way since then. What do fans in your mind that haven't saw you in action need to know about you?
What they need to know about Jock Sampson is that I'm going to come out and give every little goddamn drop of sweat personality that I have to making sure that the match that I'm in is the most entertaining fucking match that they've ever seen in their life. I have no regard for anything. I don't care how dumb I look, as long as it makes the match entertaining. I'm going to come out, I'm going to brawl, I'm going to fight. I ain't changing my style, my presentation, for nothing. So if they come to see Jock Sampson, expect to be highly entertained.
Oh,
yeah. I can attest to that. I've enjoyed seeing you. I've enjoyed hearing your promos and watching them. Like, I can agree, highly entertaining.
Yeah, that's the way I watched your match against Hacksaw Jim Duggan today, and I was like, this is entertaining as hell right now. I'm loving every bit of this.
And we didn't do a goddamn thing.
It was still good. I loved it.
Wrestling's a lot like golf, Lewis. You know, I always feel that the lowest score always wins. So me and him were trying to do whatever we could to be the one who gets bumped. I swear if he would have given me a power bomb, I'd have found a way to land on my feet.
I tell you what, when he kept there and said, "Come on, big boy, is that all you got? Give it to me." And you're like, "You really want it?" Oh, I was loving it. Every second of it.
In the locker room, I had a whole case of beer in the locker room drinking. And he comes up and thanks him. He says, "How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 39 years old." He says, "I don't see guys drinking anymore." He says, "Good to see an old timer, you know, and young guys."
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'm 39. I'm not that young. I'm not young no more." So, but yeah, that was actually a dream, because I was a big fan of him when I was a kid.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Speaking of when you were a kid, what is the earliest wrestling memory that you have?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. I tell you, man, the whole WWF, the 1980s, I remember going to the video store. back, you, I don't know how old y'all are, but that we used to get WrestleMania like a week after.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or like a 2 months after. So I'd wait for the video store. I knew what happened. And I'd just wait and wait and wait. But the first time I ever came across wrestling is I looked up and I see a VHS of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant just standing there looking at each other. WrestleMania 3. I think it was probably like a year after because they had them like that long. So maybe I was like 8 or 9. But when I found it, that was the first thing I seen. And I'm like, holy shit. Look at these two big bastards. I didn't speak that way at 8 years old, but you know, that's my translation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a young pup, but I remember that. Remember recording pay-per-views on VHSs and going back and watching them over and over till the tape burns out.
Oh yeah, I still remember the very next year in WrestleMania 4 they had double VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
From WrestleMania 4 because they had the big tournament, so they had like 12, 15 freaking matches.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I still remember, you know, when the Mega Powers exploded, my mother made me go see Richard Marks in Athens, Ohio, and I was furious. Because it was Saturday night main event, and I had to go see fucking Richard Marks. So I get home, you know, I'm like 8, 9 years old, and I'm like looking at Mom and said, Mom, why did you make me go? The Mega Powers may still be together if I was home and watching. You know, because, so, but those are pretty good stuff. And I got to see some stuff, you know, when I was 1990, when I was a kid. Down in Columbus, Ohio, at the convention center, got to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus the Macho King. Ooh. Bret Hart and the Honky Tonk Man, Dusty Rhodes versus the Big Boss Man.
Nice.
Got to see all those. Damn. And the funny thing about that match is the Big Boss Man Dusty Rhodes match is a fan threw a can of pop like from the bleachers, and they must have had an arm like a Roger Clinton. Because they threw it in there and it tagged the Big Boss Man at the side of the head. And I still remember him running down the bleachers and running out and then all the security and whatnot chasing after him. And then I look up and Dusty Rhodes is making his comeback. Jabbing away. So when the fan hit him in the head with a can of pop, Dusty started coming back because it popped everybody.
Nice.
So, yeah. Some good stuff, man.
With you know, seeing those kind of things. What was the moment that you decided that wrestling was for you?
The very first moment I laid eyes on Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I didn't know how I was going to go about it. You know? I didn't know how it was going to happen. You know, it took me a while to get there. I waited until 26 to get there, but the moment I saw Hulk Hogan is the moment I wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Nice. That's
the first time on that cover on that VHS tape.
Yeah. I think every little boy back in the day can remember going around their house and mimicking Hulk Hogan for the first time.
Mine was Warrior, which you know later, at least ring work transitioned not as well, but it was him and Macho. When I saw Hogan, I thought that was the rival of the person that I liked. And so I had one of those little brawling buddies that was a Hogan one. And so I'd be Warrior or Macho Man facing him. But it was still centered, obviously, around the Hogan time that I got encapsulated by it as well. But
sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot about that generation right there.
Yeah.
Of wrestlers. Because everybody has a different person. If you're my age group, you know, I know a bunch of people who will say Hacksaw was their favorite. Warrior, Macho Man, Hillbilly Jim, I mean,
yeah.
Andre the Giant. I mean, I know I'm leaving a lot of people out. But my mother was a big fan of the Rockers.
Yeah.
So all she wanted to do was see the Rockers, and she loved Shawn Michaels as her favorite. But what a great generation.
Yeah.
That truly is wrestling's great age.
they all had very much larger than life personalities that you don't really get to see a lot of in the you know, in like WWE now.
Well, and that's the thing, I missed out on that era. My era was Stone Cold, Brock, Taker, Shawn Michaels, and I always mimic Taker all the time. Always.
Well, there's nothing wrong. You know, that was part of my generation because I was graduating high school.
Yeah.
When the Attitude Era was coming up. Like, I graduated high school when Stone Cold wore his belt for the first time for Shawn Michaels. You know, so I got to live through the best eras.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got to see the best. I never watched new wrestling. It has nothing to do with any respect for it or anything. It's just, you know, it's not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to criticize these guys. I'm not going to shit on them for what they do. They do what they do, and it is what it is. But it's not my cup of tea. If people just say that and move on, we'd be a lot fucking happier.
Amen to that. Just watch the product and move on.
Yeah, you like what you like.
Yep.
I like chocolate peanut butter together. You may like white chocolate.
Ooh. Ooh.
I like Coors. I drink Coors beer. You may like white beer. I may laugh at you, but
I'm a Miller Lite guy.
Yeah, I agree. I very much agree with you.
BJ over here like Budweiser. Yeah. BJ over here likes more of the crafts and IPAs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really hit the IPAs too much, but I like a good sour beer.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh.
But
I don't like
scum
beer.
Oh, crap.
But yeah.
Jock, I seen you got inducted into the War Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I get inducted February 2nd.
Nice. You want to tell us about your war career?
Well, it was a very tumultuous career because when they brought me in, they had zero expectations for me. They had me wrestling in the first match against fucking midgets and fucking guys in masks named the Manglers, some dumbass named Donnie Swenson. Just a bunch of shit that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, then it was, they didn't have any expectation for me, and I'm the kind of guy, if you put a chip on my shoulder, I'm going to knock that fucker off. I've always been that kind of guy. And I built it up to where, you know, I don't understand why guys want to be hated, but I became the most hated guy there for like 4 or 5 years, may have been it. 4 or 5 of their big anniversary shows, which is their WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That was the main event and the biggest match they ever had at War Wrestling when they had a scaffold match. They drew the biggest house in the history of War Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they've never had a scaffold match in the state of Ohio to that day. Had a feud with guys by the name of Dusty Dillinger, Juice Jennings. Great, great feuds that a lot of people still talk about today. And I can't wait to show up to the Hall of Fame, to be honest with you, because I can't wait to tell them asshole people there in Limelight what I think about them one more time. They are the scourge of the damn earth. This ain't going to be no typical Hall of Fame where I'm coming out kissing babies, thanking my wives, doing none of that shit. I'm going to tell them people they kiss my ass one more time.
Now, is that where the 450 boys were formed?
That's exactly where the 450 boys.
Okay. Can you... tell us, I don't know a lot about the 450 boys. Can you tell our listeners out there?
I'd be glad to. The 450 boys consist of the Scarbonis, Handsome Vinny, and Southside Sonny, and Vinny from Jersey, and then also Falling Out Danish Street. These guys are the closest friends I have in professional wrestling. Like, we go on vacation together, we do everything together. If you've never seen the Scarbonis or Vinny from Jersey, then you should, you need to look them up. But we had a little stable up there to where it was just, we liked to party. Every single one of us likes to party. We like to go out and have a good time. But, you know, the Scarbonis, a couple of Tag Taggins from up there in Michigan, Danny Shea, he's just a wild man. We put the group together. We were some of the most hated. We were the most hated individuals. The Scarbonis was the best tag team. They're my favorite tag team I've ever seen in my life. Nice. On the independent circuit, being my absolute number one favorite. They are fantastic. But basically, we all just got together because we liked being together.
Yeah, and that's
and then it worked. We had a lot of good chemistry together. We started doing a bunch of like 8-mans, you know, 10-man tags, and just really just tearing down the house.
Yeah, but,
bunch of good guys, man. These are we're going on a cruise together here in April, all of us with our families.
That's awesome.
So, like well, you know, I'm kind of talking them getting 450 tattooed, but I'm the only one that's got tattoos.
should have planned that one as a all together trip.
Yeah, like it's we're gonna be going nuts. We're all gonna be looking when our wives ain't around. We're
gonna
be looking. And
no.
Not touching. We're just
gonna
look.
Hey,
nothing wrong with some window shopping.
There ain't nothing wrong with that one bit.
But the 450, they're very best people I know.
So obviously talking about the 450 boys, like a bit of a group there, a stable. And you had like some tags going, like with the Mega Plowers. Which do you prefer, tag matches or singles?
That depends on who you're with.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's
understandable.
It's a dance.
I mean, yeah, it's a dance. But I didn't feel like tag team wrestling. I like when you have a lot of guys in like a big 8-man tag.
Yep.
Mm.
And there's so much different stuff you can do, you know, and you're having a good time. There's a lot you can do. I actually prefer tag wrestling.
I think tag matches are kind of like a lost art in today's generation. It feels like a lot of guys don't mesh as well as they did like in the 80s and 90s. I just don't understand how it lost its way. It don't seem like it gets as much pop anymore, but I don't know why.
Well, wrestling's a very selfish business. Like, a lot of guys don't like sharing the attention.
Ah, okay.
That's just my, you know, opinion on it. If guys, you know, they feel like to be a star, they gotta do it on their own.
Yeah.
And then some people think they're going to be stars with you know, the tag situation holds them back. But it's just, you know, that's just the nature of the business. It's a very selfish business. We may not be very selfish, but a lot of guys are more selfish than they'll let on. Because you kind of have to be.
Yeah, and there ain't nothing wrong with a good tag match. I love a good tag match.
Absolutely.
Like, when you watch The Revival on TV now, it reminds me of a young Tully and Arn. And it's just magic, I think.
But they're just put in a weird area.
They're just put in a weird booking.
Well, no, I just mean because of the other teams. Oh, where yeah. They're not, as you said, where they mesh with one another.
But us speaking of tag matches and stuff, who's your favorite person you've worked with?
In a tag situation?
Well, in any match. Any
like,
style.
That I've wrestled?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jeez, man. This is hard to do. because I've worked so many guys that are... I know this is probably the cliche answer that you probably get. There's a lot of guys I like working. You know... And then you wrestle thousands and thousands of matches, it's hard to single it down to one. You know, I got, like, me and Dusty Dillinger had a lot of great matches. Me and the Duke up at AIW had a bunch of great matches. I like going to West Virginia sometimes and working guys that nobody's ever heard of, like Danny Ray or Tommy Gibson, and just sticking off.
Yeah.
Because the guys who can go up there and call in the ring, because I'm kind of a call in the ring kind of guy. Like, show up, work, you know, TJ Phillips, and not talk, and just go out there and do it. or, you know, just try to let and narrow it down to a little bit. And I've got the privilege of working with Schwab, and to be honest, you're not going to find a cooler dude. Not because he's a name or anything, but he's so smart to the wrestling business. Like, people don't realize he rode the roads for 10 years with Fit Finley.
Wow.
Like, he's going to pick shit up.
Yeah.
He will be very smooth.
Oh, yes.
Like, he knows the wrestling business inside and out. If Swoggle was 6'5", if he wasn't a midget, Swoggle probably would be, you know, main event WrestleMania and shit. But he's here on the indies making a killing because he can work almost anybody smart enough. Like, he's going to be wrestling Scott Steiner in AIW in New Jersey, for God's sake.
Wow.
Who in the world would ever thought that shit would happen?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds... It sounds real out of left, you know, left field there.
You know, but looking at guys like him, man, shit, man, I'm going to leave a bunch of people off here because, I mean, like Jack Pollock's, the Team Storms, the Philly Brio Experience, Main Event, man, you know, Andrew Powell's was a piece of shit, but it was fun to kick his ass.
I'm glad you said his name because my next question was that feud. I love that feud you guys had. It just stood out to me and I loved every freaking second of it. And
well, I appreciate that, man. I think he's a lowly piece of shit.
I did. I sat back today. I was at work and I sat back and I went and watched all of that. Watched all the backstage interviews today, and I laughed my ass off when you were like, he's just a stupid piece of shit, and I don't give a damn about him. I'm like, this is what we need. This is what wrestling is lacking right here.
Oh, it's real.
It is real.
I don't like him. I hate the guy.
I loved it. I was like, damn, this whole storyline is on point. You can just tell. Neither one of those guys like each other, and it was just so good.
I would say you need a good dance partner. When me and him, it's a mosh pit.
That needs to be a t-shirt right there. That's great. I love that.
I mean, we don't like you. You know, I try to hate everybody I wrestle sometimes because it makes it easier.
Yeah.
For me to be me. Andrew's just not a likable guy. A lot of people like him, you know. Hey, everyone's a bad guy in someone's point of view. Someone dies.
That's true.
A lot of people up there don't like him, but they probably like him for the wrong reasons also.
Everybody's got to have that one person that thinks they're a dick. I know I got him.
You know, every bad guy thinks he's a good guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor thought he was doing good. The Darth Vader thought he was doing good.
Yeah.
Just who's ever eyes have seen it.
That's true. It's all about perception.
Perception is reality.
Yeah.
So.
So I have a kind of left field question for you in regards to how we've been talking, but like, do you have any like other countries that you've worked in or that you'd like to work either in or somebody from?
Well, I've been to Canada. I don't ever want to go to Mexico. I'd get murdered there. Nothing wrong with the people there. I'm afraid I would not come back. I just say dumb shit.
Well, there is a guy down there who does a Trump gimmick, and they love him outside of wrestling.
That's my good friend. I'm afraid I wouldn't come back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I honestly believe I'd get murdered. I rep, you know, I am a full-fledged Donald Trump supporter. And I won't ever discredit anybody, but if I'm asked, I won't lie about it.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm more of a supporter per se because he's my president. Like, do I like him? Not really. Who does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who likes any fucking politician? They're all shitheads.
Yep.
Fucking Obama was a piece of shit. Fucking Hillary's a piece of shit. Trump's a piece of fucking shit. But the piece of shit that I have to suck and support because of the goddamn government.
Yeah.
I was supporting Bill Clinton when he was getting fucking blowjobs. I'm a fucking White House desk, for God's sake, you know?
Yeah.
Oh shit. I love this podcast. I love it.
Well, so do you have any dream match opponents? Like if you could have, you know, a match with anyone, you know, past or present, who would you choose to?
Well, I'd think it'd be Hulk Hogan. You know, that's easy. I wouldn't, you know, have no problem. I'd Hulk Hogan. I would say Hulk Hogan and, probably, Dick Murdoch.
Ooh, yeah.
Big, dirty Dick Murdoch fan. Jeez, man, there's so many legends. And I've got to work with so many damn legends, like, I don't know how many legends are left. Jerry the King Lawler, yes. Let me throw that in there. If any promoters out there want to make it happen, I need me and Jerry Lawler need to fight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like, let's
take, that would be good.
Let's take a second. Could you imagine the promos between Hulk Hogan and Jock Sampson? They would be on fire. Like,
let me tell you something, brother.
Let me tell you something, brother. You know, Jock Sampson, he'll kick down your door and steal your wife.
That's right. Me and Linda.
Oh.
I'm actually talking about my wife.
Okay. Okay. He threw me off. He threw me off for a second. Yeah.
That's right. No, I mean, you could talk like God. I got the rest. I got to work Terry Funk.
Oh, God.
Hacksaw, Honky Tonk, fuck. You know, both fucking Dudley boys.
See, Terry Funk's a legend
Kevin
in my mind.
And Barbarian. God damn, I can't even remember how many of these fucking left words. I've been blessed.
Yeah.
I've been career.
Yeah, see, Terry Funk's a legend in my mind because, unlike BJ over here, I really enjoy deathmatch wrestling. Some people hate it. I love the shit out of it. And Terry Funk's always been a legend to me in that.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, everyone likes something.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with you liking them. Like, I didn't understand the ECW stuff growing up because we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people, you know, I never understood Terry Funk from the ECW. I got it from watching, like, Memphis and fucking NWA.
Yep.
So when I thought that he was doing fucking moonsaults, I was like, words for him. I was like, you fucking kidding me? Like, he's fucking 75. Like, fuck.
Oh,
don't
shit.
Don't kill Terry. But, I mean, hey, man, seems to be a very popular thing as hardcore wrestling, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's making an uprise around everywhere, basically. And but I enjoy it.
I'd say wrestling as a whole right now is probably in a much better spot than it's been in a long time.
It's a prime time to be a wrestling fan right now.
Well, it depends on what you want to watch.
Yeah,
yeah.
Something's everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant. Like, there's stuff everywhere now. It seems.
In a way, that could almost be a bad thing too. Good for the jobs and people having jobs and this and that, but sometimes too much of something.
Yeah.
On people.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be that it's so accessible now to watch wrestling.
That's true.
More than like we used to have to wait once a week to watch it.
Yeah.
Twice a week.
Yep. That's.
Could you imagine writing TV for fucking like 7, 8, 9 hours of fucking television?
I wouldn't want to imagine it, but I'd love to give it a try at least one time just to see what it was like.
Yeah, but see, doing it one time probably isn't bad, but when it's episode 100 that you've done, that's probably kill you.
Well, I think a lot of what people don't understand is I'm sure you keep up. I don't watch a whole lot of new product. I really don't watch much of anything. I'm around there saying so goddamn much I don't watch much.
Yeah.
But do you think about wrestling today? Like, it's so the indies is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. granted, the Indies are the hottest it's ever been. They're you know, drawing 400-600 people, and for indie wrestling, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would put WWE out of business. Now, let me ask you this. A lot of indie wrestling fans, are they hardcore wrestling fans, would you say?
I'd say you probably get half and half.
Yeah.
I would actually say the majority of them are hardcore wrestling fans, give or take. Now, WWE, people complain about the writing and the booking and this and that, and when they don't realize that WWE's not a wrestling company.
No.
WWE is an entertainment company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get people who are like, let's say a dad who don't really like wrestling, but his kids may. So he's going to take all six kids to a WWE show whenever they're in town. One of them on TV, another one buying all t-shirts and this and that. So WWE's out there trying to get people that aren't wrestling fans to watch their product because there's a lot more of them out there than there are wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where their emphasis is. Like the John Cena, the colorful character guys, Roman Reigns, you look at Braun Strowman.
Look
at all those guys that WWE pushes.
Would you say WWE's...
They fit the mold.
Would you say WWE's more like a... casual kid base product, other than indies being more for like an adult hardcore fan?
I would say it's more for the kids because I compare WWE more to Ringling and Ringling Brothers Circus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's a big show, it's a big extravaganza. But indies, yeah, it's probably more so for adults. But even though I actually would prefer wrestling shows to go and be family friendly.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, like, we're not gonna have. I mean, not many parents will let the kids go. Like, I apologize to any kid listening to this.
No.
With my language, but I don't like cussing the shows a lot of times. I may say damn or ass or whatever, but I'm not going any further than that.
Yeah.
But yeah. We don't need shows with people out there saying fuck and pussy and, you know, being vulgar.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have fans going forward for the next 21st century.
Yeah, because
that's why WWE's there, though, because they're the future.
Yeah, because if you ain't got kids that are fans, you don't have a next generation.
10 years from now, you're going to have any wrestler saying their favorite wrestler, John Cena. You're going to ask the same question you did. Why are you wrestling? They're going to say John Cena.
Yep.
They're going to say Roman Reigns. You know,
it's like guys nowadays, you ask them, Hogan was what turned them to liking wrestling, and then, like you said, 10 years from now, it's going to be Cena and Roman and stuff.
AJ
Styles.
So, it's like, you know, if we don't have them, we don't have nothing. We might as well go extinct.
Yeah. I prefer to go to an indie show other than go to WWE. I mean, I get excited over WWE, but I feel like I get more of a surprise reaction when I go to an indie show and I don't know some of the guys, and it's like, as soon as I get home, it's like, oh, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to friend this guy because I liked what they did in the ring.
Sure.
So, I mean,
yeah,
it's nice for a change.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's always nice to have that. You know, it's just, we're such wrestling fan oriented, like a lot of the indie shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why the crowd's like, it's not an entertainment company. So some dad's not really going to care if his kid's not going to push for his kids to take his kids to the circus.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't try to degrade it, but it's almost like, you know how you have the lower graded circus that would come to town?
Yeah.
And give away the free tickets. I'm not trying to bury wrestling, but it's almost on that level. Like, oh shit, let's go see that.
Yeah.
Free tickets, fucking A, let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
can't beat free.
A different level. But indie wrestling's the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
So it's just different. It's just an entertainment company. People need to stop worrying about the fucking booking. just watch wrestling for what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, this, I want to, this, when they, I go to wrestling shows and they chant wrestle forever, I'm like, I don't get it. Because you need good guys and you need bad guys in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You need to want somebody to win, or else it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You have to care.
Yeah.
You know, this, oh my God, this would have been cheer for both people. Like, cheer for one guy and the newer guy. At least care about something with the match, and it'll mean more. This nitpick in the booking, man, there's people get paid millions of dollars to book.
Yep.
Yep.
It's, you need to be a fan. Stop trying to run the world and be a fan.
Enjoy wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love wrestling. And just let that be.
Yeah. Well, Jock, I don't want to, you know, I feel like we could talk to you for a long amount of time, but I don't want to, you know, get you bored of us just going on about tag teams in WWE, and I know you.
I have a habit of getting off script and going offline sometimes.
Hey, that's what this podcast is about. Yeah. If we didn't jump off the rails, this podcast would never exist.
Yeah, I hear that. That's kind of like what I do. I'll have conversations with people like this, and it's fucking all over the place. Next thing you know, we're talking about Trump's wall.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So, thank God I live in a redneck area and I
ain't
gotta worry about
the
living shit.
Yeah.
Hey, we live in a small town too, and it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
250 people in my town.
I think we got more than that where we're at, but you wouldn't know it by looking at it.
Yeah.
You don't really see that many people interacting. It's just we've got a lot of little, you know, little hollers and stuff all around.
Yep.
So, but I definitely, I know we appreciate you coming on and doing this with us, because we've been excited about it, and glad to talk with you, of course. You want to let people know, you know, where you're next going to be, or next few places you'll be, where they can, you know, kind of get a, you know, if you've got a following on Facebook or social media, where they can follow you and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you want to get a hold of Jock Sampson, look me up. I got two Facebooks. I got one in friendly pages, and then I got one in business pages. If you want just Facebook/Jock Sampson, one word for my business page. But if you want to friend me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/jock.sampson.779. And then the Twitters and the Instagrams is just type Jock Sampson in after the hashtag. And if you ever want to get in contact with me, you know, send me some nudes or whatever, I don't care. Just those guys.
And obviously, if it's a booker, get you and Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler, Hawk Hogan. We can talk Terry. I'll put Terry over.
There you go.
I'll put Terry over. But I actually got a show January 19th, Pittsburgh, Pride at the Sea. I will be there, even though they voted me most hated. They're not going to bully me, and I will be there. They can kiss my ass. January 24th, I will be in Greektown, Ontario, Canada. For Greektown Wrestling, Matt Kitten Puff, who got in that car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
He hates Donald Trump, so I'm going to beat his ass. Then the next day, I'm driving to Indianapolis, Indiana for Wrestling Theology Fellowship. Taking on some kid, I guess it's Spider-Man, I guess. His name's Miles Morales. I didn't realize who fucking Spider-Man was.
Oh, yeah.
No fucking clue. That's what he called himself. Wrestled him, and then the very following week, February 2nd, I get the World Wrestling Hall of Fame. So, gonna have a pretty busy month, busier, you know. But, yeah, life is good.
Awesome. Well,
I can tell them the things up there. My 4-year-old is running around the house like the ultimate warrior trying to avoid a bath.
It's not quite bath time here yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, we thank you so much for being with us and for taking the time out and answering some questions. And I can't wait to, you know, catch another one of your shows again soon. And we'll be obviously looking out and rooting for you over here.
Even well, I appreciate y'all having me on. It really means a lot to me. You guys reaching out to me, and if you need me to come back on, just give me a holler.
Oh, without we'd love
doubt.
That. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
All right,
thank you, man. Well, that interview with Jock was pretty good. I hope it's the first of many that we have.
As do I.
And, We hope, of course, everyone listening enjoyed it. And hope that you'll be looking forward to more like we are. Obviously, we had some questions. But if you have anyone interested, or anyone that you're interested in hearing, give us a shout out and let us know. And if you have, you know, specific questions that you'd like to ask them too, you can always leave us a message on Anchor. You can download the app. It's free. You can connect with us and you can send us direct messages. Kind of like if you're a frequent listener, kind of like what Starkdust did last week for us. And we can not only play it back, on the, you know, live recording, but we can even add it to the recording. So if it was something of a shout out or something that you wanted to give during, or, you know, after the episode or beforehand or something, we can play all that. So that's good. But yeah, that, you know, to plug Anchor again, it's the app, but it's also website anchor.fm. Mm-hmm. And it's completely free, and it has, for the most part, been absolutely wonderful, especially compared to where we were from, like where we were using before. But yeah, Teddy.
Yes, sir.
You've been all over the web and chatting with people and clanging and banging the social media weights.
Yep.
Doesn't that work up a sweat?
It does. Pretty tired.
I mean,
but I feel good.
I hope, of course, you have the right kind of clothes for working up such a sweat, even if it is behind the computer, you keyboard warrior. Because everybody needs proper clothes when it comes to working out. And luckily for us, we are now able to help out with that. Right, Birdman?
That's right.
So, if you go online and Birdman
at www.barbellapparel.com/run the ropes.
I couldn't carry this all myself.
I know.
You can go onto the website and you can buy clothes for basically gym. Well, I think they do a little bit of everything now, but they were essentially a gym wear company.
Yes, they have casual wear, they have recovery wear, and athletic wear. You can find all that. There is also, just for reference, I know some guys that are 300 pounds plus, and they could never find jeans that fit them comfortably. And Barbell Apparel has that right now. You can go there any shape, size, and you can find what fits you, and you feel comfortable, and you feel like you can go out and not look ratchet. You got
ratchet.
You don't have your jogging pants on. You have nice jeans on, or a nice T-shirt to show off that pump you just got from the day before or that day.
They're good people. They were at the Arnold Classic last year, and we're handing out some free things there. And they have nice quality product. Good people. Again, that's barbell.com.
Barbellapparel.com.
Barbellapparel.
/run the ropes. And when you're there, and if you're a first-time user, use the promo code ROPES, and you get 10% off your purchase.
So, you know, not to be a Billy Mays, but there, you know, the wait, there's more. It's more or less the one more time Billy Mays. That's barbellapparel.com/run the ropes. And get yourself some good quality clothing, whether you're, that's for the gym, or whether you just can't find that pair of jeans or pair of pants that fit just right, and they'll hook you up with the good stuff. They'll give you that feeling of you being Big Papa Pump. And, you know, you can holler.
If you hear me.